Have you ever thought about how oxygen is produced? I mean, oxygen is part of the air that we breathe, but how? What do you do? Do you go out with a suction tube and sort of suck it into a cylinder, catch it with a butterfly net, suck it in with a large straw, and then blow it into a cylinder, which then goes to a hospital? I was asked this question, and I gave a very brief, and I'm not sure how complete, answer. But let's ask it of Professor Ross Hofmeyr, who's an associate professor in the Department of Anesthesia and Perioperative Medicine at UCT. Ross, good afternoon.
Hi, John.
The oxygen that is being put into, well, that's been put into medical patients who need it, and now 74 tons worth of it a day being put into COVID-19 patients just in the Western Cape, that's derived from the air that is all around us. How?
You're quite right, John. You were spot on, in fact, with the butterfly net. But you're quite right. The most common source of medical oxygen is through fractional distillation of atmospheric air. We're all aware that our atmosphere contains about just shy of 21%, so about a fifth oxygen surrounding us. And what is happening at large oxygen producers is that they are taking that atmospheric air, filtering out any dust, making sure that it's completely desiccated. And then that the temperature of that is decreased to close to minus 200 degrees under sort of 5 to 10 atmospheres of pressure. And that causes the air, mostly obviously containing oxygen and about 4/5 nitrogen, to liquefy. And then under very controlled conditions, the temperature of that liquid oxygen and nitrogen mixture is raised sufficiently that the nitrogen then bubbles off, leaving just the oxygen and then one or two of the other trace elements. If you take away the oxygen and the nitrogen, the only thing that's left when everything else argon is mostly some argon and then a little bit of trace element.
Okay, so it's then liquid oxygen, which then gets gasified and captured, or...
It is then liquid oxygen, which is the most efficient way to store large volumes of oxygen. In fact, in a liter of liquid oxygen, there's about 840 liters of gaseous oxygen at normal atmospheric pressure and temperature. So most of the hospitals utilize bulk oxygen storage in the form of liquid oxygen, and it's stored at about minus 150 to 180 degrees under about 10 atmospheres of pressure in very large vacuum flasks. So if you drive past your local hospital, you may well see a large white structure, and that's what we call a vacuum insulated evaporator. And that's full of liquid oxygen, as I say, under high pressure and low temperature. And that oxygen is then allowed to evaporate through an evaporator, which you may see if you are observant. You may see some piping next to that, which is coated in layers of ice quite frequently. As it warms up, it freezes water vapor from the air. And that oxygen converted from its liquid form is then taken through a reticulation system in the hospital at about 4 atmospheres pressure. And that's what is coming out of the wall when we plug in an oxygen flow meter or a ventilator or an anesthetic machine.
And somebody who's not particularly scientifically literate like myself, it sounds wonderfully complicated, but I guess it's not.
No, it's quite elegant, really, to take a resource that is as ubiquitous as the air that we breathe and convert it into a life-saving drug, if you will. There obviously is a fascinating amount of medical engineering that goes into it, and quite a lot of care nowadays is being put into managing a resource which traditionally we would just think, well, it just comes out the wall. But now with the consumption rates that we're seeing currently, we've had to have some quite careful thought about not only how we keep up with our storage of oxygen, but also how we make sure that our piping systems, which never really were designed with something like COVID in mind, can cope with piping this oxygen all over hospitals and all over facilities.
So, I mean, Premier Alan Windey said in a media release on behalf of the provincial government yesterday or the day before that we have to import some from other provinces because we don't quite have enough manufacturing capacity in the Western Cape to meet the current demand. And I hope that there are indications that demand is going down, because that would be a pretty decent sign. So, I mean, yeah, it's quite something. Is it an expensive process to manufacture, produce oxygen?
Yes, the you know, the raw substrate, as you will, is free air that we breathe. But the process of cooling the air down to close to minus 200 degrees is very, very energy intensive. And then, of course, there's quite a lot of technical trouble and difficulty involved. We all know that oxygen, of course, is the quintessential oxidizer. So if you allow any kind of impurities, but particularly any kind of hydrocarbons, such as any grease or oil, to get into that high concentration of oxygen, that's a very, very real risk for fires or explosions. So all of that has to be very tightly controlled, which means that oxygen itself is quite an expensive commodity. And in fact, the drug budget of many hospitals, if you'll think of oxygen as a drug, oxygen is one of the most expensive things we use, because we're using such large quantities.
Do you have any idea, Ross? We have to go to news quickly, but yes. Do you have any idea what that 74 tons of daily oxygen use costs?
I mean, what is a ton of oxygen? I wouldn't be able to give you a figure off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
But quite a lot.
Certainly.
Professor Ross Hoffmeyer, thanks very, very much for talking to us. I found that really interesting, and I hope, folks, you did too. Associate Professor in the Department of Anesthesia and Perioperative Medicine at the University of Cape Town.